Let's begin. We are up to Perek Mem. We are in the middle of Behemos, describing the characteristics of this creature called the Behemos. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yutes, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yutes, continuing describing the nature, the character of this massive creature called Behemos, Hu Reishis Star Kel. This creature was the first creature which Hashem created. That's what it says in this Pasuk. Oso Yagesh Harbo. The only one that can kill it, the only one that can take its life, the only one that can bring a sword to its neck, to its body, to take its life, is the one that created it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that this creature is so massive, it's so large, it's so enormous, it is impossible for any other creature in this world to take its life, to go to battle, to engage in battle. Not a human being, not another animal, not nature. The only way you can die, and also HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it the power to live forever. It will live beyond the time that this world exists for, and therefore if it's going to die prematurely, it's only through the Koach, through the one that created it, is the one that will have the ability to take its life. And this indeed will take place at the time of Mashiach. At the time of Mashiach, there's going to be the slaughtering of the Shor Habar and the Leviathan, and it will be eaten, the Shor Habar, and the Leviathan, and it will be eaten by the Tzadikim, Laslava, that those Midrashim will come to a little bit later on. Okay, now before we do the first, I wanted to mention, I came across something very nice, a very nice medrash. Going back to Pasuk Yud. Okay, just jump back. Not Pasuk Yud. Pasuk. Where do we start with this idea? Give me 1 second. Pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Perek Mem Pasuk Yud. Adeno Go'on V'gova V'hod V'hodor Tilbash. Hashem, in the beginning of this theme, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the parish of the Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says, Eev, do you think you can run the world better? Eev, you have complaints, you don't understand why you suffer, you question my Hanhaga, do you really think that you can do better? I invite you to sit in my chair. Adeno, adorn yourself. Beautify yourself with my robes, with my midos, with ga'on, with grandeur. V'gova, v'hod, v'hodar, tilbash, dress yourself in these midos and see if you can do better. And there, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to give the mashal of the behemos and the leviathan. So we got a question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose these four expressions? It's a very interesting medrash. You probably heard this medrash, but it's interesting how it ties into this pasuk. It's in Shemos Rabba Parash Chaf Gimel, where the medrash says that the key on the pasuk of in the Shir Sayam, Ashir La Hashem Ki Go'o Go'a. Hashem is exalted. He is exalted above the exalted. That's how the Medrash interprets the Pasuk. In other words, there are things in this world that are exalted, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above them. What are the things in this world that are begeder exalted? The Medrash says there are four things. Among Adam, human being, is the crown of creation. Adam is the Geya Shebibrios, the Medrash says, is the most exalted of the creatures, of all of the creatures in this world, living creatures. The Nesher, then we break it down. Among the birds, what is the most glorified of the birds? The Nesher. In fact, it flies the highest. Among the animals, domesticated animals, which is the most exalted? The Shor. And among the wild animals, what is the most exalted? The lion, the Ari. So what do those four things have in common? They all are etched into the Kisei HaKavod. Why are they etched in the Kisei? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki Go'o Go'o. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted above the exalted. These are the representatives. These four items represent creation. They are the behemos, chayos, the birds, and the brios, Adam. They represent the most exalted, come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they serve as a chair as a footstool, or as a support to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is exalted above them. So that's exactly here what the pasuk this alluded to in this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Eve, I invite you to run the world. If you think I have an easy job, everything is so simple, and you have a solution to all the world's problems, try to be God. Adeno, adorn yourself with these four expressions of exaltedness. Gaon, Gavoa, Hod v'Hodor. Each one of these things corresponds to one of the four items that is exalted. Adam, the Nesher, the Chaya, the Shor, and the Ari. I'm not exactly sure which words match up to what. I'm assuming the Gaon refers to Adam. The Hodor refers... Okay, I'm not exactly sure. But there are four words, and the four words correspond to these four representatives. So it fits very nice into this Pasuk. Opens up the Pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting Eve to run the world and to sit on his throne and be exalted above the four exalted things. Okay, now we come back to this pasuk of the Shor Habor. The Shor Habor is part of its description is that it was the Hashem's Reishis Dargoy, and the only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take its life. Let's see pasuk Yitzes in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yitzes who Reishis Ratzlama also Bar Rishon Lebehemos, that the Shor Habor was the first to be created among the animals. Ha'oso Lerov Chosko, due to its enormous strength, Ein Miyuchal Lo, there is no creature that can overcome the Shor Habor, Rak Hashem Asher Oso, only Hashem who Biatzmo, Yagish Elov Harbo Lahakosa Nefesh, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created is the one who have the ability to take its life. Rashi, Pasuk Yotes, Rashis Darke Kel Nibirashis, Nivra Rosh Lubahemos. The Shor Habor was the first to be created among the animals. Ha'oso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biatzmo, Yishchotenu, here Rashi alludes to the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will slaughter the Shor Habor at the time of Mashiach. Where will Hashem get a sakin, get a knife? You need a kosher knife, a kosher blade. So he'll take one of the fins from the Leviathan. The Leviathan, that's all question. Are you allowed to? What do you use for Shechita? For Shechita, it is our custom to use barzel, to use metal. Can you use something which is anything? So it's going to be a very big halachic issue. There's going to be a very big debate in Shemaim if the food is kosher. This says in the Medrash. Because the knife, the Shulchan Aruch, has to be metal, and there are reasons why it's there. There are reasons, I don't remember all the details, and there's going to be a big debate. No, it's like you know the joke where they come to Shemaim and Gan Eden, and a person is just presented with all the delicacies of Gan Eden, and he's about to eat, but he says, Wait a minute. Who is the caterer, and who's giving the. Who's the caterer? Under whose hashkacha? And where's the mashkiach? So he says, this is Gan Eden catering. It's Gan Eden catering. The mashkiach Timidi is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the mashkiach Timidi. So I'm impressed. Gan Eden, the Malachim, not bad, Moshe Rabbeinu. And who gives hashkacha for Gan Eden? And who gives hashkacha? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the person says, I'll take a salad. I'll take a salad. That's the joke. I'll take a salad. I'll take a salad. I don't trust the hashkacha. Well, it's not a joke. Fish. It is Leviathan. Allowed, right. Now, okay, it's where did this joke come from? I don't know where the joke comes from, but there is a little bit of truth in this joke. I mean, why? Because here in Gan Eden it says that the Shor Habor will be slaughtered. It's a behema. First, who says the kosher behema? But the big issue is there's going to be a major debate in Shemaim among all the Talmidei Chum who says the Shechit is kosher. Because the Shechit was not done from a sack, it was done from the fin of the Leviathan, and that's not the typical sakin. No, Torah doesn't change. That's one of the promises that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us in Navi, that the Torah is not going to change. It's one of the animamins. These are part of the rules of creation. There are 13 rules, and one of the 13 rules is that Torah lo tei muchlefes, lo tei Torah acheres mi'eis tabor yisprach shemo. The rules don't change, even la'asalava. And this is going to be a very big debate, and it's going to be a hayra shah, whatever that means. It's going to be a special halachic ruling for the time that the shechita is kosher. What does that mean exactly? Good question. So a very good question. I don't know. So the simonim will change, but the question. Yeah, you know. Okay, that's a debate. That's a lot. There's a lot of controversy in to reconcile what it says about the chazir and what it says in the animamins, the chazal that loyte Torah muchlefes. There's no Torah chadasha. There's not going to be a new Torah later on. Yeah.
I don't see why you're forced to say that this is not the first creature created.
Reishis Darkoi. It says the Ferish. Who Reishis Darkoi Kel? That's what it says.
So what does Rashi say?
Rashi says it was Mibereishis.
At creation.
Mibereishis. Niver Roish Lebehemos.
It was created as the king.
First, the Rosh. But that's the Shar. The Shar, Roish. You want to say Roish means it's the most. It may have been last. It may have been last, but it was the most significant. You want to translate Rosh to mean Choshev. You don't want to say Rosh to mean Choshev, but Reishis does indeed really mean the first. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I that's a good point. I don't know the answer.
There was a story in Williamsburg. There's a letter of Bonin. They all wanted the fish, and they ran out of fish. So they sent one of the Puerto Ricans to the local store to get fish
fillet. To the Puerto Ricans, yeah.
And he came back, and someone stopped him at the door, and he says, "What's
where'd
the
you go?"
And they saw it was trey fish.
It's right. You can't. You never know. You never know.
My wife, it's Bubbles.
Yeah.
He married a Lubavitch woman.
Yeah.
And every Simcha, the Bubble of Simcha, I always sit with the Lubavitch. Every single time they order the fish.
Well, they want a specific treatment.
But if we have a simcha in the marina, they order the meat.
Okay, let's go further. Pasik chaf kivul hodim yisulo. It says it's pasik vul means like yibul means produce. The produce of the mountains yisulo is
postage stamp.
What?
Not in Hebrew.
Bull
is postage stamp.
Is a postage stamp a bull?
No.
Okay, but here it's short. It's short for yivul. Yivul. There is the yud is silent. Is absent. Yeah. We had this.
I said it yesterday because the letter says Rabbi Alper makes the point. You're saying how many times in the Chumash? I said it yesterday. Because the word yivul, the word before it ends with the yud.
Ah.
Right.
The style of writing. And the word before ends with.
It's hyphenated. Same thing.
Yeah, okay, very good. Ki vul harim yisulo. The produce of the mountains will be provided for it. Now, this means that the behemoth HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into its existence, its parnasa. Okay, it has a very big mile. Other animals, especially human beings, are predators. We're always seeking parnasa. We're always seeking to, attempting to make parnasa, to find parnasa. The behemoth has an incredible mila. It doesn't need to look for parnasa. Well, I don't know if that's a mila. No, talk about the nachash. Nachash also has parnasa 24/7. The earth of the ground. Chazal don't look at that as a mila. Look at it as a chasson that does not need to come onto Kadosh Baruch Hu. To some degree, the behemoth is similar to the nachash. It always has parnasa that is prepared for it. What is the parnasa? The yivul harim, the produce of the earth, grasses and other things like that, is yisu is carried for it, meaning it is provided, is presented to the animal. Now here's something very beautiful. This is really the main theme according to many commentators. The next few words is the main yisoid of these two parak, parak men, parak mem aleph. When we compare the behemos to the leviathan, the chol chayas hasadeh yisachaku sham. All the wild animals of the field, they play. Yisachu means they take delight there. They're not afraid of the behemos. The behemos is not a predator because the behemos eats grass. It eats vegetation. It does not eat other animals. Does not eat meat. And the strength, the power of the behemos is infinite. Yet it does not attack. It does not harm its neighbors. It's a good neighbor. It's a friendly creature. all the chayas hasad, the wild animals of the field, yisacha kusham, they can play there freely, there is no harm. This is in contrast to the leviathan, because the leviathan is the most dangerous creature in the world. It represents the antagonist, it represents the creatures in this world which cause harm. And that's exactly the deeper meaning of these two problem points. Almost all the commentators is that we're comparing the two creatures, the behemoths and the leviathan. Hashem is showing Eov there are behemoths in this world, the creatures that fit into the category of behemoths, and there are creatures that fit into the category of the leviathan. There are forces of good and there are forces of evil, and the two interact with one another, and the world will be incomplete one without the other. Okay, let's see.
The
pasuk good. We call pasuk of the mitzvah. The pasuk chav kivul.
The odd scroll says, by the way, was the first behemoth.
The first of the land animals.
That's what he says. Okay. But he quotes the mitzvahs. In other words, he's saying that's what mitzvah says.
Okay, pasuk of the mitzvahs kivul. Pasuk chav kivul ki heharim. The mountains produce, they carry, and they blossom, they grow produce for its food. The food is readily available for the behemoths. And therefore, the behemoth grows and grows, becomes very powerful. It has food. Kilo yaksar lachmo. It's not missing food. It's not lacking. The im kol rav koyachai. So you would expect a creature that is powerful would abuse its power and would destroy its neighbors. No. Yisachaku kol chayas asod b'mekoyma. All of the animals are peaceful. They can play. They can enjoy the neighborhood of the behemoth. The behemoth does not attack any of the creatures in its vicinity. That is the incredible bracha, the incredible good nature of the behemoth. Okay, now let's take a look at Pasik Rashi. Rashi Pasik Chav Kivul Hodim Yisulo Over Sefer Tehillim Kasov Behemos Beharel. Okay, a lot of Midrashim about on this. The behemos that lives among 1,000 mountains. What does that mean? What does it mean 1,000 mountains? Elef Hodim Nosim Lo Yivul, that 1,000 mountains provide a breakfast. Every day 1,000 mountains grow grass, vegetation, and it eats it. Every single day it eats up 1,000 mountains. Okay, so again, this is all very difficult to understand. We don't see today any living creatures eating up 1,000 mountains, so what it means exactly, we don't know. This is midrashic. Now, we have a very important parenthesis, very important yisod here. Ad kan yosad Rashi. Okay, until now, everything we've learned until now from 40 parakim is the perish of Rashi. Somehow, the last couple of pages are missing, or he never wrote a perish. Ad kan yosad Rashi mikan ve'elich einoy lashon Rashi. Who wrote it? Doesn't say who wrote it. Truth is,
who wrote this Rashi? Didn't
know. He was committed. Yeah, what?
I'm reading.
You don't have this? It's in the Rashi. Okay. Okay. The truth is, I never really did research this, but believe me, hopefully before we finish up, in the back of the art scroll, there's an appendix where they discuss the true authorship of the Perish. We're not even so sure that the Rashi and Eoiv, that it says Ad Kan Per Yosad Rashi, is really Rashi. It's really Rashi. So it could be that until now it was based upon notes of Rashi. We learned the Rashi is an extremely difficult Rashi. You get definitely the sense that we're missing half the words. Rashi just throws out things are being thrown out, but one thing for sure is that after this is definitely not Rashi.
Pseudo Rashi.
Okay.
Someone wrote this note.
Who wrote this?
He wrote the note.
Yeah.
Did he write that note?
I had a lot of mysteries about Mefarsh. Okay. Okay, let's go further. Now we come to a more description about this behemoth. Tachas, okay, Tachas Tse'elim Yishkov B'Seser Kone Uvitza. Now, according to the Mitzudos, this is a question. According to the Mitzudos, there is a silent hey. Hashem is questioning Eov. Hashem says, Eov, how do you, this Hashem is trying to show Eov that that he created the world, and this creature can only exist through supernatural means, because al derech hateva, it couldn't survive. Hasacha, now you have to make me, there's a missing hey. The hey hasha'ela, a question. Hatachas tselim yishkov, you know, it gets cold at night. In the winter, there's snow, there's ice. In the summertime, it's hot. An animal also needs shelter, also needs to go and hide somewhere. So if you're a cat or you're a mouse, okay, so you can sneak in someone's house, sneak in someone's garage. But if you're a large animal, who's going to take you in? Okay, and especially if you're...
The people of the United States.
Just cross the Mexican border.
What happens if you take up 1,000 mountains? Okay, if you need to eat for breakfast 1,000 mountains... I mean, where are you gonna fit in? But it's cold. It's cold. The animal's gonna die. It's hot. How's it gonna survive? Hashem is saying to you, yet it survives. Why does it survive? It only can be because I take care of it. So this continues the theme of the Mitzudos of Hashkacha Pratis. Eif, how can you say, again, there are many layers of interpretation, but on a very similar level, Hashem is saying, look at the Hashkacha in this world from focusing on the Behemoth and the Leviathan, there's really no way that they can exist, and the only way they exist is because the Shvarach allows them to survive through unusual Shulchan Pratis. Hasachas, now the word Tselim is an unusual word. You have the Tzadi and the Lamed, which stands for Tzel Shade, and you have the word in Elon, Aleph Lamed, and Mem, well, it's not really Elon, really Nun, but the Aleph Lamed also is short for a tree. So here the word Tse'elim is a composite of two words, of Tzel Ilon, the shade of a tree. So it means here, Tachas Tzelim Yishkov, is there a tree, is there a tree that can possibly provide shade for such a massive creature? Now you have to hear the word Tachas again, a second time. Hasachas, with the hey, you have to hear the hey and the word Tachas again. Hasachas, or, okay, it means, or I should maybe take it back, but you have to add the hey to the word habeseser. Okay, just add the hey to the word beseser. Habeseser kone uvitza. Can it take shelter? Seser means to hide itself in the shelter of the reeds of the swamp. Bitza is a swamp. Kone are the reeds along the shore, and the bitza is a swamp. An animal takes shelter during harsh times, during difficult cold and heat, in among reeds and among swamps. But this creature is so massive, it's not sufficient. How then does it survive? It's only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention. Let's say look at the Chafaf Nemetzudos. Tachas ki'ilu amar ha-tachas. It's if the hay is missing. V'sechzer ha-hay ha-tema. V'hay ha-tema, sometimes we call the hay ha-she'ela, is missing. V'dover ha-movin, it's self-understood. U'chamohu rabim. There are many examples of this in Tanakh where the hay is missing. V'rat zolaymar. V'chi yishkov tachas tselim. Could this creature, would it survive underneath the shade of a tree? Can't be. There are no trees that can possibly provide for its shade. Haloi l'rov gol due to its enormous greatness. So ain't it salam ba'olam? There are no trees in the world that can possibly provide shelter. Uva hashkachos. So therefore, what's the message? What's the point of this pasuk? Uva hashkachos yiskayim. The only reason why it exists is due to my care. Mibli tzel, without any shade. L'hagin lo b'chama, to prevent it from the heat, in the summertime. Ubeseser, Ratzulaymar, Vichi, you have to air the Hei Hayidia. It's also the Hei Atema. Vichi Yishka Beseser Kone. Can this creature conceal itself in the shelter of a Kone, of reeds, or Beseser Guma, of a swamp, Hagodal Bebeitza, of a Guma means a pit that grows near a. The Beitza means a swamp. No, it cannot do so. And therefore, it's all due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. Let's see Pasuk over here, Pasuk in Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk of Aleph, Tzeloim is Tzel Ilanos, the shade of a tree. Pasuk of Beis. Okay, Pasuk of Beis is a repetition. Yesu Kuhu Tzelim Tzeloi. Again, question mark. Can the shade of a tree shelter it with its shade? Of course not. There are no trees that are large enough. Yisubu arve nochal. Yisubu is also a word which means a shelter. Okay, it's another word which means a shelter.
Something that surrounds.
Okay, Svara, see, it goes around. Arve Nochal, the reeds of the willow, these are also things which would normally provide shelter for creatures. Question mark. Can these things, can the shade of the tree provide it? Which shade can the Arve Nochal provide it, surround it with shelter? It's impossible. How then does it survive? Only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sashiach Pasuch HaBeiz in the Mitzudos. Yisu kuhu v'chi sacheihu tziloheim asher heima ruim lios tzilo l'fi golo. Can it be protected by the shade of a tree? It's massive. There's no shade in the world that can do a proper job. Also, Arve Nachal, can the willows of the Nachal, of the stream, surrounded? But the shade of a willow is nothing connected the massiveness of this creature, the behemos, the kofel hadover rabois pamim b'mila shonos. This pasuk over here, kofel pasuk of base, is poetic repetition. B'mila shonos hamora al godol hamania, to point out the impossibility of accomplishing such a task, and the only way it can possibly survive again is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance. Pasuk of base in Rashi is savi sochu tzilam rot silo also tzel shal seisa kane obeitza, the shade that is provided by the shelter of reeds and swamps, misuvach umisochach, which entangles it, milanos, shelters and entangles it in trees, cannot possibly do justice due to its enormous size. Okay, pasuk of gimel. Now again, describing what it drinks, we learned what it eats. It eats 1,000 mountains. The yevul horim yisulo. It eats a lot of grain. But what about, how does it quench its thirst? So it says here, it basically drinks up all the waters of the world. Hein yashok nohar v'lo yachpozu. Yashok means it robs, it steals. This creature, it steals the waters of the world. V'lo yachpozu, and it does it naturally. It doesn't have to do it quickly. If the animal wasn't so large, so then its mouth is small, and there's a lot of water. So a lot of water, if it wants to steal all the water, it would have to do it quickly. It would have to work very, very hard to swallow in order to steal the water very quickly. But being that this thing is so enormous, it naturally, just a simple gulp, a casual sip, will consume all the waters of the world. If it's a small creature, you can't be casual. You have to do it quickly in order to accomplish. But when you're gigantic, just opening your mouth, nimelo, all the water will enter. That's what it means, v'lo yachpozu. It does need to be done swiftly. That's one interpretation. The Rashi has another interpretation, we'll come to a few moments. Yivtach, it has confidence. Ki yogiach yadin espihu, that the yadin will flow, all the waters of the yadin will flow into its mouth. Notice that when Yiftach has the shalsheles, this is very one of the rare ta'anim. Yiftach means, shalsheles means, you when a shalsheles, you dwell. The trop is very long, which means its confidence is extremely great. It has no daigus in the world. You're able, some people know they have the tachon, but only for 5 minutes. By the tachon, I have faith. You don't want to test a person's faith. For the moment, everything is good. Let's seal the deal. Because in 5 minutes from now, you'll go home and you'll go online. You'll look at the news and you'll see the forecast, the economic forecast. You will right away change your mind. Your haftacha is short-lived. Many people, they have faith. They have faith. They're optimistic. But how long can your optimism last when things, there are many question marks? Okay, you want to be optimistic. But a person that has true faith, his faith is long term. That's the deeper meaning here of Yiftach. Yiftach means it's not just a faith that will last for a day, for 2 days, for a month. It's for the entire history of the world, the entire existence of the world. The behemos is confident it will always be able to drink up all the waters of the world. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Chav Gimel. Hein Yashok, Babaderech Hasha'ela. Okay, so he's continuing to use Hasha'ela. Lo, we have to add a Hein to the Pasuk. Lo, Imar, Hine, Moshchoi Kulo Yalpiv Kilu Ashko. Can it Can the waters of the world, this thing is so enormous, can its thirst be quenched by drinking all the waters of the world? No, it can't. How then does it survive? It's a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for it. But meaning that it's capable of drinking all the waters of the world. If it needed to, it can swallow all the waters of the world, and that would be called Oishak. Oishak means to rob. We're just borrowing that term, to take it without asking. It doesn't need to do it quickly. It's so massive. It does. The word yachpos is chipazon. Chipazon yatzasa min mitzrayim. You left mitzrayim in haste. The imkay nimshach oida hamayim b'meshach zman hashasiya. If the water would flow to it during the time of its drinking, Mikol Makom Shoy says Kulav, it would drink the entire thing. V'afa nimshach b'zman hashasiya. It would continuously drink all the water without going anywhere. It's not in a rush. That's how massive this creature is, and yet the fact is the world continues to exist, but the creature is still alive. It's buried somewhere. We don't know where this creature is. It must be. It's only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. Yiftach b'yitechu b'yatzma sheyuchal limshech el pev kol mehayardin. It has confidence that it can consume all the waters of the Yardin. Kirashi, Pasik, Chaf, Gimel. Hein yashik nor v'lo yachpos paras. If this creature wanted to, it can steal the rivers, and it would not yachpos. So first, it says which river? Which river are we referring to? Paras, the Euphrates. Shemeimav. Why is the Euphrates called Paras? Shemeimav parim v'rabim. They multiply. V'unar gadol. It's a very large river. Oshko v'gozlom and abrios b'shososo. This creature, the behemoth, would rob the world, rob mankind of the waters of the Euphrates when it would drink it. V'lo yachpos. Now here, the Mitzudos translates with yachpos similar. Rashi translates with yachpos similar to what he translated the word chafetz in the previous perek. V'lo miskashe bitno. It does not get hard. Now I don't know exactly what this means, but it seems when a person eats too much, you get full. So getting full means the muscles stiffen. The muscles stiffen to a degree. It's a metaphor that it gets hard. Your stomach is hard, and there's no room for more food. Okay, it's a metaphor of that's it. Ad kan, the gates are closed. The stomach shuts down. There's no more room. The stomach becomes hard. So the same way that's when it comes to eating, it's when it comes to drink. How much ready can you drink? You can drink a couple, whatever you can drink. You come to a point where your stomach becomes hard, and that's it. Turn off the opening, close the opening, nothing more is coming inside. That's not the case when it comes to the behemoth. The behemoth's stomach never gets hard. It's always soft. It's always thirsty. It's an infinite pit. It can consume all the waters of the world. Lo miskasha, the word yachpoz means does not become hard. Bitnoi al shisiyasai, if you're drinking kumo yachpoz zanovo, like we had 2 days ago, the tail of the behemoth, it becomes hard. When it wags its tail, the muscles stiffen, and its tail becomes hard on will. The muscles become hard. So here he's using the word yachpos in the same form. Now there are different interpretations of what this means. Okay, we'll learn that first according to the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, he says the word enov, you would simply translate it to mean its eyes. Correct? But that's not how he translates. He translates the enov lashon of an eye, a mayon, a fountain. A fountain. Be'enov yikochenu. The Maikshim, Maikesh Lash means hard rock. Okay, normally if you wouldn't look at any of the commentators, you would probably first be led to believe Eina means eyes, and a Maikesh means a trap. And indeed that's how most of the commentators explain the Pasuk. But according to the Mitzudos, he says, we're continuing in reference to the behemoth, its thirst for water. Not only does it drink the rivers, it goes down to the fountain, the source of the water. That's how thirsty it is. And many of the fountains are buried deep, deep down behind hard rock. No problem. It just takes its horns and slices into the hard rock to penetrate, to uproot the bedrock, to find the source of water and to drink the water directly from the fountain. That's what it means. Be'enav yikochenu. It takes it. What's it? It, the subject is the water. It takes the water. Be'enav. The bays really here is interpreted as a mem. Me'enav, directly from the spring, from the source of the water. B'moikshim yinkov off, with its nose. Okay, I told you horn, not the horn, with its nose. It just penetrates into the mokesh, the hard rock of the ground, with its nose, in order to find this fountain from which it can quench its thirst. That is the simple interpretation according to the parish of the Mitzvah. Let's read it in Sanela on the parish. Pasuch of Dalit. Be'enof eskol hayardin, the entire Jordan, the Yarden, yikach el piv, it consumes. So the subject is the Yarden. It says, ki yagiach, it's the previous pasuk. Yagiach yarden el piv, the Yarden will flow into its mouth. So the subject now is the Yarden. It takes the Yarden with down to ad hamainois. Hamainois. Mokom divios, the place where the water flows. Shehu noivea mimoras pamyos, which flows from the pamyos. This is a place. This is the source of the Jordan. You go all the way up north, right? So what's it called in the
Banyas.
Banyas. The Banyas. Okay. When I was a little child, I remember going there. The waters are very cold. Is that true? It's very, very cold. I have pictures from a long time ago. Memoris Pamyas. So this is where the behemoth goes to quench its thirst. Next, b'mokshim b'chdei lishtoy sakol yashvil piv. It lowers its mouth. The pith here is the af, its nostrils. Ad karkoyis hayardin, until the ground of the yardin. V'yinkoiv apo behamoikshim asher bayardin, in the moikesh, which means the hard rock that is in the yardin. What's the hard? What are the hard things? A moikesh, which is hard. There are many. Anything can be hard. An egg can be hard. It's also a hard egg. Here means the bedrock, the rock that's underneath the yardin. Uchidoyme ki yafgia bohem be'apo. It touches this hard rock with its nostrils. All of these are exaggerations, examples, different melitzas, uguzma, vinyi melitza, trying to tell you that this creature is so massive that to quench its thirst it needs to consume all the waters of the world, all the waters of the Yarden, from the Mayan down to its source. But yet, the way the Mitzvahs learns is, we don't find it doing that. We don't find that this creature is consuming all the waters of the world. We don't find this creature is eating up the grass of 1,000 mountains. How could that? How then is it still alive? How then is it? Does it survive? It only survives because the Kadosh Baruch Hu secretly provides its needs in a way that is a mystery to us, and this is a revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha. Because al derech hateva, it should have already destroyed the world long, long ago. Now Rashi has a whole different interpretation of the word be'enav. Enav does not mean. I didn't read the Dibra Masl in the previous pasuk. Let's go back to the previous pasuk. Rashi Dibra Masl Yiftach Yagir Yarden, but Tuachu Limshech Kol Yarden has confidence that it will draw into its mouth the entire Yarden. Lepiu Ilu Hayeshayse Sham Kamo, if it would drink it. Where do we find the word Yogiach means to drink? We find Goychi Mi Beten, draw me out of the womb. David said, pull me out of the womb. You pull me out of my mother's womb. So the word yogiach is from the word gochi. And here it means to draw. The water will be drawn from the source into the mouth of the behemoth. Pasuk of Dal be'enav yikochenu. Hamokom yikochenu behabitoi bo. V'nirad me'imoso b'mokshem klei umnoso shel tzayodim shesholim bohem dogim. So Rashi disagrees with the approach of the Mitzvahs in two accounts. Enav means eyes. Eyes, not fountain. Moksha means a trap, and says, and according to Rashi, the subject is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this creature is so massive, how will it ever be caught? Be'achris Hayamim. This creature eats grass of 1,000 mountains, consumes the waters of the entire world. How then will it ever be captured in the end of days? Time of Mashiach. For it to be consumed by the tzaddikim, no problem. Hashem will just give it a look. Hashem will give it a look, look at it, and the creature will be terrified. And it will be terrified then it will stop before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just take it by a hook. Hashem will take a hook and put it on its nose and lift it up and bring it to the tzaddikim for slaughter for their consumption. For
the
Risuk, you're making a very good point. You have a halacha if there's lightning, right? So if there's lightning, animal is terrified from lightning. So what is the halacha?
The has to live for
24 hours. There are two different examples of terror. There's terror of natural causes, and there's terror from a person causing it to be afraid. I forgot the halachas. Different halachas. How long you have to wait? But you make a very good point that there should be a shayla. It's terrified by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, what is the halachic status? Very good point. I don't know. It's very interesting. Gotta go look up Moshe Shulchan Aruch. So here, that's so. Be'ena refers to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem will give a look. Yikochenu will look at it. Hashem will take the animal. Hashem will take the animal by looking at the animal. The moikshim with a hook, yinkov off, it will perforate its nose and lift it up by its nose to bring it to the slaughter. Rabbi Schwab says, he writes that he himself witnessed this when he was young. It's not done today. Today it's probably illegal. But the way sheikhtim, butchers, would take animals to the slaughter is they would actually put their hands in their eyes. So it's very you see tzar balechayim. That's how it was done. How do you control? You go to a slaughterhouse. It's not so simple to go take these massive cows. Not called cows. What are they called?
Steer.
Okay. And
well, they
to
kill cows also.
But they take these steers. How do they guide them and control them and take them from place to place for the shechita? It's very complicated. Today there's a lot of technology and machinery that's used to streamline the process. But as the old shechitim years ago, before it was technology, it was a big deal. To get the animal into position, you had to put out, there was a big fight. To put the animal down, it wasn't so simple. So one of the techniques that was used in ancient times, and if Schwab writes that he saw this, is they'll go to this massive steer, and they'll put their hands in their eyes. And that is a technique that was common, and that's what it says in the Pasuk. Be'enav tikochenu, by putting your finger in its eyes, you're able to control it. You can control an animal that's 500 pounds. How much does a steer weigh? 1,000? 1,000 pounds?
A side of beef on the fourth quarter is 300 pounds.
1,000 pounds.
It
could be at least
600 pounds just the fourth quarter. The hind quarters is more.
Wow.
Talking about it's over 1,000.
Over 1,000 pounds. Yes. So you could control a creature over 1,000 pounds by putting your hands into its eyes.
Wow.
And when you put its hand into its eyes, it's at your control. You can then take the hook and attach it to the nose, and it's very sensitive, very painful. Can you imagine how painful it is to put in the nose? And then when you pull it by the nose, it moves along. These were techniques that were used in ancient times, not so ancient, not so long ago, and the Pasuk says, Beferish, that's how it was done. So according to this, Rav Shav's interpretation, it says, Hashem is mocking Eiv. Hashem is saying to Eiv, the end of Yikochenu, this creature, the behemoth, is so massive, it's so enormous, there's no way a human being can control it. Even if you make use of the standard techniques of control, it won't work. You think you're going to go over to this behemoth, the behemos of a Hari Elef, and you're going to put your hands into its eyes to take control of it? Be'en of Yikochenu, b'moikshim yinkov av, you think you're going to come to the animal with a hook and attach to its nose? Come on, Eiv, who are you fooling? You can't do this. It's an enormous. So, sach hakol, we have three perushim. The mitsudos, a continuation of the water. It's going to go down into the fountains, to the shirish of the Mayan. It's going to penetrate the earth with its nose to uncover the Mayan. Rashi, Hashem is saying that when Mashiach comes, I'll take hold of it. I will control it. How? Just by giving a look. You give someone a look. You ever have those type of people? I went to high school in Chaim Berlin. So we had a very good menahah, Chaim Siegel. So when he walked into the room, It was magic. You just melted. You were afraid. There's a koyach of a... I don't know. What is this koyach? You walk into the room and like, the regents. So we had a room like this size. And he would proctor the regents. When he there was no cheating. When he sat there and he gave a look. When he was out? No, I don't know. But when he was in there... I don't know, it's just a koyach. What is the koyach? It's a spiritual koyach. So I had a friend who became a menahel. He became, got a very good job out of town, and he became a menahel, a very choshev yeshiva, and he says, his model is his Rebbe, Chaim Siegel. He's trying to do everything like a, says one thing he can't do. He doesn't have that fear factor. When he walks in...
Not so much fear, reverence.
Reverence. That reverence, he says, it's not something you can do. It's either you got it or you don't. It comes from Yiras Shamayim, it comes from the spiritual blessing. Wherever it comes from, and that, just he can't do. So here, he had that idea. Like, Kadosh Baruch gives a look. Hashem gives you that look. Hashem is here. The animal right away behaves differently. It's a spiritual koyach. Okay, then we have the third parish of the Rav Schwab. Hashem is mocking Eiv. Eiv, do you think you can control it by putting your hands into its eyes and putting a hook on its nose? Pasuk Chaf Hey. Now that concludes the behemoth. So we're finished. We've gone through 10, I think, including 10 psukim. Okay, so we finish the description, the characteristics of the behemoth, and some of the things that we extract is that it's the first creature of creation. It is massive. It needs food worth a thousand mountains. It can consume all the waters of the world. It miraculously survives. It cannot be captured. It cannot be captured by man, and it will exist to the end of days. But what else do we learn about it? It's a peaceful animal. It doesn't bother anyone. All the chayos hasada yischaku sham can play with it. Peaceful. It's it is a mashal, according to Rav Schwab and according to Rabbi Eisenman, he writes a lot about this. It's a mashal for the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim of this world, they are great people, they're mighty, they're powerful through their Torah and their mitzvahs, the Ma'asim Tovim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, even though Piderech HaTeva, like this behemos, Al Derech HaTeva, there's no way you can survive. Right? Someone has 14 children, how in the world can you survive? Somehow they survive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, that's what it says over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides sustenance to this creature, even though it is lemala miderech hateva, tzaddikim, who don't harm anyone, somehow they survive. That's yiftach, a very beautiful word, yiftach, they have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's referring to the behemos tzaddikim, and the betachon is the betachon of a shalshelas. Shalshelas means chain. Their faith, they're chained to their faith. And if you want to, or means to dwell. The shalshelas is a tam which means you dwell upon. That's tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. The ikar life force of a tzaddik is his emuna. And all of these ideas of a tzaddik are alluded to in the theme of a behema. It doesn't eat up another creature. Il mole moroha ish esreyu chayim below. The behemoth is at peace with the chayas ha'olam. It eats grass, product of the earth. It doesn't eat up other animals. It doesn't eat up man. It's not a predator. All these beautiful ideas can be rooted in the concept of the behemoth. And now we come to the terrorist. The Leviathan. What? The Leviathan. The Leviathan is the antagonist of the behemoth, and because it's such a terrifying creature, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to put it away in a different part of the world, among the water, among the sea, because the sea is a place where it's not fit for human habitation. You got to stay away from the Leviathan. And what's interesting is the Leviathan has many more psukim. You know, that's the in the news, the wicked people, they take up 99% of the news. empty cans make a lot of noise. So now we're going to have most of the rest of this perek, and the entire perek Mem Aleph is all about the Leviathan. The Leviathan gets much more treatment than center stage, than the Behemoth. Because that's the way it is in this world. The people who make trouble, they're always front and center, in contrast to the good people who don't get any spotlight. The Leviathan is a very cruel, dangerous wild animal, which is going to be referring to the mashal for the reshahim, the wicked people. Okay, here we go. Tim Shaykh Leviathan Mechaka. Hashem now says, Eif. Let's contrast the behemoth to the Leviathan. Can you go? Can you Tim Shaykh Leviathan Mechaka? Can you capture? Can you capture the Leviathan in a hook? Uvechevel Tashkil Leshayne. Can you lower? Tashkil means to lower a rope to its tongue, like basically fishing. Right, when you go fishing, what are you doing? You're lowering a rope. Yeah, you have a hook, and on the hook you have a worm, okay, or some expensive type of bait, whatever you'll purchase in a fishing store, and you'll attach it to a hook, and you attach that hook to a rope. Okay, fishing string. We don't have fishing string. I don't know, when did they invent fishing string? When did they invent fishing string? Anyone know the dates? But before they had fishing string, it was more primitive. I guess they had thick. You're taking out your Google? What? You look at Wikipedia. Tell us when they invented fishing string. But it was crude. You have a rope. You have a rope, and to the rope you attach a hook, and to the hook you attach some worm, and you lower it to the fish. So here the pasuk says, "Uvachevel tashkia l'shono." Come on, you're going to go fishing. Hashem says to Eve, "You're going to go fishing for the Leviathan. It's going to catch your bait, and you're going to wheel it in." Come on, who are we kidding over here? Pasuk chafhei in the mitzudos. Timshach ilu amar kilu to amar ha timshach. Again, we're always missing this hey hasheela, the hey atimia ki ilu amar. Atimshech v'tachsar atimshech v'tachsar hey hatema hey hatema is missing. B'dover hamuvin itself understood. Uvoat l'saper mipilois gevuros haLeviathan. We're now beginning our trek through the waters of the Leviathan, the creature of the Leviathan. The Amalav v'chitimshech es haLeviathan min amayim. Do you think you can catch the Leviathan min amayim? Mechigan hook asher yimshuchu yeser hadagim, just like you can trap all the other creatures, the other fish. Uvechevel tashkil l'shun, you're going to lower. Tashkil is to lower with the rope to its tongue, l'shun to its tongue. Hu hipuch, you have to take these words and translate them out of order. Hipuch means out of order. Chilu amar, read it backwards. Vechevel, a rope, tashkia b'l'shun, will you lower to its tongue? Vechein v'atosem b'puch einecha, she'll put in, put makeup upon her eyes. Also, you have to translate the words backwards. U'mishpatoi, tosem puch. You have to read them hipuch. Read the words out of order. She will put puch makeup, eye makeup, be'enecha. The ratzalaim avchi tosem esachevel sech oimek halashaynai. Are you going to lower the rope to the depth of its tongue? Lemoshchei acharecha, to draw the fish after you. You know, as you go, you can go fishing. Period. Pasek as Rashi pasek chavhei says timshach leviathan kasher timshachehu b'chika. When you pull it with a hook, the tosif agmoin be'apo, agmoin is a hook, another word for hook, in its nose. Hayidaber elecha tachanunim kolam is going into the next psukim. Okay, the next pasuk says there are many tricks of the trade. You have to speak to the you have to speak to people who go fishing. You have to speak to them and ask them for the other tricks. Some of them, they have sonar. They actually speak. Okay, there's a technique where you send out sound waves in the water. It's a form of speaking to the fish. And the sound waves draw the fish closer.
But you tell the fish, come so I can kill you.
Yeah, pretty much. You entice them. You entice them. You tell them, we'll offer you food. You speak. Will you speak to the fish with words of supplication? Please, fish, come here. And then Hashem is saying to him, it's not going to work. All the tricks of the trade, we're going to even have something even more bizarre. They use a nichosh, sorcery. Okay, fishermen have many techniques. You'd be shocked, all the techniques of fishermen how they trap fish, at least in ancient times. You have the standard techniques of putting out some bait, or you have sonar or sorcery. Okay, black magic also works. All different types. All of these ideas are going to be expressed in the Pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is mocking Eiv. Eiv, do you not understand who you're dealing with over here? The Leviathan. Do you think you can go and you can wheel in a Leviathan? It's not going to happen. Kolayma lo tuchal l'skay v'lo b'chliv mitzuda tashkia l'shon tashkia chem v'l'shonah, to lower a rope l'shonah lo hitzim mimakoymo, to lower a rope to its tongue in order to draw the fish from its place. Okay, so Hashem is saying it's just not going to happen. Okay, Pasik Chof Vav Hatasim Agma in the Apo. Okay, the Rashi already told us from this study, but over here, going further, will you be able to put Agma in the Apo? A hook in its nostril, uvecholach tikov lechio, a hook is a hook. It's another word for hook. All different types of hooks. I don't know the difference in the shape and size and form, but the different types of hooks. Tikov, will you perforate lechio, its cheek? Mitzudos pasichavav hatasim v'chitasim agmon biapo v'chitinkov lechioi bechoyach. Will you be able to perforate its cheek with a hook? Derech asher yasu liyeser hadagim, like you do with other fish. Letzadom ki lerov koychol Yoel Tachbula, due to its enormous strength, you will not be able to come with any type of subterfuge. Av Zeroa im Gavura, even with the ultimate might, there's no way you can possibly capture the Leviathan. The Pasuk of the Rashi, Agmon hu kafuf, it's a hook that's bent. Kamo kipa the Agmon, the Osui shel barzel lotzul b'dagim, it's made out of iron to capture fish. Hatosim im tosim Agmon biapo loitzim in amayim uvechoyach shel tziyad the dagim made from fishermen. Tikov kmo tinkov means to perforate. Pasuk chav zayin. Hayabre lecha tachanunim. Will you speak to it? Will you increase words of supplication? Im yidabre lecha rakos. Will you speak to it softly? Is it going to work? Which means that when it comes to regular fish, these things do work. When it comes to regular, there is some technique. I'm sure if you research this, I'm sure you'll find some technique where you're actually through the koyach of putting in sound waves into the ocean. Maybe it's artificial sound waves. It's a form of speech. It's a form of tachanunim and dibor in order to draw the fish towards the shore, towards your location. You always have in the news about dolphins and whales that are in the wrong place and they can't figure out what they're doing here. Why in the world and they die?
They follow,
but a lot of times they're totally mystified. Why are the dolphins, whales here? They belong somewhere else. Somehow they've been lured in. We don't really know what's going on. There are things that are going on all the time out in the ocean, ships and experiments, military exercise, which definitely have an effect upon these creatures, and it causes them, we have no idea, that sound waves to travel in different locations that are normal to them. But that's what's over here. Will you speak to Hanunim? There may be an unbelievable mystery that's been presented here in Eif. Okay, if you study the commentators, you learn over here secrets of the world. Will you go and you speak words of supplication in order that it should give up its life to you? It's impossible to trap the Leviathan. And there's nothing you can do to find favor in their eyes. I'm not exactly sure that it should leave itself. I think lozo means that the creature should abandon itself into your hands, should give itself over to you. Rashi pasuk of Zayin, Hayir elecha tachnunim im yir belecha tachnunim ivakish al nafsho sheyeshet shetani chayu. Will you speak words of supplication and ask the creature that it should give over its life into your hands? Im yedaber kofel mila rakois dvarm shel tachnunim, supplication. Pasuk chavches. Pasuk Chavches, Hayichros Bris Imach, will the creature, will the Leviathan forge a treaty with you? Tikachenu Le'evid Olam, will the Leviathan become your slave? In other words, maybe even let the creature live in the water. But why can't we harness its power? Okay, you can generate energy. from this massive creature. Just like we have animals, we're able to harness the power by pulling animals, by hitching up to a yoke. You take an animal, you take a chshor, a chamor, and they serve man. They carry burdens. They pull plows. We're able to harness their power, their energy. But when it comes to the sea monsters, the sea creatures, man has yet to harness. You've never seen, not I'm aware of, maybe there's such a thing where man has harnessed the power. They attach yokes, and they're able to pull ships for you, right? Just tell, you could save oil, you can save fish power, very good, fish power. And you can save fuel by having the fish, the whales, pull the ships across the sea for you. We've never heard of such a thing. So still when it comes to Leviathan, there's no way you can yichwas brisi mach tikachen level oila pasach chavches in the mitzudas ach yichwas v'chichwas imcha brisha tikachen level oila v'tashachen b'riseh, and you will send it in this treaty impossible Rashi yichwas brisi mach im yichwas bris la avdecha. Will you be able to forge a treaty shetikachen liyos tchal ever oila impossible? Now here's a real interesting pasach chavches has sachek bo kitzipor. Can you play with it like a bird? The sikshirenu lenaro secha, and tie it to your children. You have to remember, there was a world before a Game Boy, before Nintendo, before got all the different
Atari.
Atari is 100 years ago. You're revealing your age. PlayStation. PlayStation, what are the hot sellers today? What? Game Boy, PlayStation, something else. What does Microsoft make? Microsoft, there are three. Xbox. Xbox,
what
right.
What about Pong?
Pong.
Yeah.
There
was first
letters. Okay, today there are three. Today, Ha'olam Olamei Ashrei Shadvarim. Xbox, PlayStation, and
Pac-Man.
And Game Boy. Okay, I think those are the three major
platforms,
right? So, in ancient times, you know, what do you keep your kids busy with? How do you occupy your children? You didn't have a Game Boy. You didn't have a. You know, it used to be years ago when it was still kosher. Television was the greatest way to get rid of your children. The greatest babysitter was television. I mean, everyone. What?
Not
the salamander. But before this technology, you give them birds, chickens, parrots. Sick racial
young. They used to give
them to the head.
Play with the head.
Yeah. Ay. But this was entertainment. You take a bird, a parrot, a little cute bird that talks or does whatever, and you give it to your child. So here Hashem says to Eve, what do you think? What do you think the Leviathan is? It's a toy. It's a toy. You can make a bris. You can talk to it. It can be your servant. You can play with it like a bird. Kitzibar. You'll tie it to your children. You'll go and you'll tie a leash to the bird and give one hand to the child and give it to your children to play with. The Leviathan is a terrorist. That's what it's a marshal. It's not a toy. Mitzudos pasachav tes hase sachek v'chitalig boy. Are you going to mock it? Kasher talig b'tzibar, you mock with the bird. Kasher tina l'fon of garin g'tvua. You give a bird little seeds elapach into a trap. Who yoreid bo lechol, and you put some. You mock it. You put you trap it. You give it. You get a trail of food and it comes into the trap. Lechol v'nilkad v'sham v'zeu hasechoyk. The sechik, the mockery is you trap by leaving a trail of food. Shin hatzibah shed yasher yirameu loredes alapach with a bird at which you lift up to go down to you trick it. Okay, you trick. I'm sorry, yirameu. You trick it to go down into a trap. Amar v'rigames haleviyasan tuchalotza betachbulus kazos. You think you can trap the leviyasan with these type of tricks? V'tikshareinu v'chitikshar oisol lebal yavriach. You're going to tie it up so it can't run away. The timsar oisol inayrosach to give it to your children. Lesachik bo. Like they do with little birds. What are you out of your mind? What do you think? What is the Leviathan? Leviathan is a dangerous creature. Let's see Rashi. Parashat Tischak bo v'tiyayil bo, are you going to take the light and walk with it? Kilu tzipor kata. Now, according to the Rashi, Rashi seems to disagree with the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says the schoik is to trap it. You mock it by trapping it, by putting out food, and through the food it comes into your trap. Rashi says something much more simpler. It's not a toy of leisure. It's nothing that you can go for a tiyul, you can go for a walk with. V'im tishtik sherenu, litzavari narecha, hakadam, you're going to tie it to the neck. Or litzarecha for your purposes, narecha of your children, hakatanim sheyatilu bo kitzipanim, they're going to play with it. Kitzipanim ketanim sheneisnim letinoikos letayel ulefaiso, to satisfy, to babysit your children? Not so. That's not the nature of the levios. Levios is a dangerous creature. Okay, we'll stop here.